Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated, visit myspecialmortgage.com. That's myspecialmortgage.com.
Covering Training Camp 2018, presented by Mountain High Appliance. It's football at 4 with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
I do want to be known as the greatest, but you know, it's hard to be one of the greatest when you ain't got two rings like Ron. You know, that's my competition right now is Ron Smith. I ain't worrying about Stoke.
I love
that. That was Demaryius Thomas on today. Earlier was Zach and Stoke, and I tell you what, that was a really good interview. And the friendship that you hear between Demaryius Thomas and
Stokely,
Stokely is. Yeah. It's so magical, man. And I remember those relationships that I had with young players who had become veterans around here. And it's great.
That's very cool.
I got a chance to visit with Von Miller a little bit this afternoon.
How's Von doing?
He's just such a great kid, man. He's not even a kid anymore.
Great
young man.
DeMarcus as well?
I didn't talk to DeMarcus.
But Von.
But just the... Von's willingness to daily, man, and go over and sign those autographs and take that lead and be that guy for the team.
There were two paths in the woods.
Yeah.
And Alden Smith went one way, and they started together. Alden Smith went one way, and Von Miller went the other.
I think smoking marijuana part of your life?
Absolutely not.
I'm so glad. You know, he's such a great guy to root for. He's so well-loved deservedly. He's such an incredible player.
And on top of that,
he's awesome.
He's a great teammate.
Future Hall of Famer.
Yeah, you got to know that he will be a Hall of Famer when it's all said and done.
But
and
always smooth.
I know, but the way that he's come around, though, D-Mac, and he's opened up and been hospitable to all the Broncos, every day that they have people that walk out there, he goes over there and takes the time and signs autographs and visits with people.
He always does a little extra.
It's amazing. It's like he understands
he doesn't run off and hide in the training room pretending he's got some sort of mysterious injury he needs treatment for. He doesn't do that. He's always the first one out there. He learned a lot from guys like DeMarcus Ware and Peyton Manning, and it's awesome to see Von flourish like he is. He's going to be, never mind Ring of Fame, he's going to go in the Hall of Fame.
He's going to go in the Hall of Fame.
If Demaryius wanted to go in the Hall of Fame, now I know he's going through this new regimen where he says he wants to play. Well, it's interesting reading from Sanders and Demaryius relatively recently where they both of them were thinking about hanging it up in football in general after last year. But both of them have had a resurgence and a new life, and Demaryius has changed some significant things in his diet and had his blood examined, has a personal chef. I mean, he's always looked great, but he's feeling so much better. And we told you, for years he was dealing with that hip injury. So I always thought Demaryius was a warrior for getting out there and playing like he was playing. But he's had this hip thing for a long time. Well,
he's been courageous in his attempt to come back from that, and he hasn't said much.
Yeah, he never complains about it, cries about it. He's a really tough dude. And so I really admire Demaryius. I really admire him. And he's a slam dunk for the Broncos Ring of Fame. He might be right. They might need another ring to top Ron. He may need another 5 years.
Listen, man, I don't think it has anything to do with necessarily having rings, man.
He probably needs a few more years considered better than Rod.
Hey.
He probably needs at least four more years if he's going to go in the Hall of Fame.
Let me ask you this. Is Larry Fitzgerald better than Rod Smith?
Yes.
Why?
He's more dynamic. He's faster.
I don't know if any
but
of
Rod's
those
really
things.
Good.
I think the word that you said.
He's a Hall of Famer.
He's dynamic, right?
Larry Fitzgerald.
And always has been dynamic and has always been that playmaker.
Yeah, Rod has
a. You look at Demaryius Thomas in the same light. Even if he had the numbers to be. You know, in front of Rod Smith, would you call him dynamic?
Demaryius, yeah, at times in his career, for sure.
But would you call him a dynamic receiver? You just called him the third best receiver on the team.
Well, that's because that's what he is right now. But, you know, maybe he'll have an awesome year. And
I didn't say he wasn't going to have an awesome year.
Return to that level. I don't know. We'll see.
Would you call him dynamic?
Not for his career, sure. But not right now.
Okay.
For his career, yes.
See, I see these guys that have had long, prosperous careers, and I look at them in this...
You're avoiding our quarterback conversation.
We can get right to it.
Well, we got
to
take a break now. Well, I was ready to roll. Yeah,
let's get to it then. Let's get to it. We got to have a conversation about it. But it's just that on talking about Demaryius Thomas, and you keep on saying that he's a third wide receiver, and then you use words like dynamic. Something just don't make sense.
Well, I'll say it again.
Something just don't make sense.
I wouldn't call him dynamic right now, although my opinion could change depending on what he does in the season. But overall, if I had to describe Demaryius Thomas as his career, I definitely would call him dynamic. But if we're talking about right now, I'd rather have Emmanuel Sanders and Cortland Sutton on the field. And then Demaryius is the third guy. Look what they did on the first play of the game when they more or less kind of moved him into the slot. Kind of nice little pass. It was the only pass Case Keenum completed. I'm not writing off Demaryius Thomas. He could have an incredible year this year. But if they don't get Cortland Sutton in the mix, it's foolish. It's not smart. In terms of if we could have any veteran quarterback on the team, who would it be? Let's bring Cecil into that conversation, and we'll tell you about the Bears practice today. That's next.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage Special Circumstance Lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web. 303-790-2222, the phone number. SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
Covering training camp 2018, presented by Body Armor Sports Drink. Here's Big Al and D-Mac.
Here we go with our boy Cecil Lammy. Cecil Lammy, our fan Broncos insider and fantasy football guru. Fantasy football with Cecil from 7 to 9 p.m. Cecil, we want to play a little game with you.
Okay, let's do it.
You can. Well, what are the rules here, Al, with the quarterback thing? Wait.
You can have whoever you want, and the most you can give up is Shane Ray, and it's got to be realistic. And it cannot be Tyrod Taylor.
Well, I don't think Tyrod Taylor would be realistic. Because
that's not realistic.
Tyrod Taylor is not realistic. He's going to start.
You can make one trade off of your team, and you can give up Shane Ray. Who are you going to get as your backup quarterback? The Broncos and John Elway in particular have already alluded to the fact that they will or they might be looking for a backup quarterback.
And then say it. Okay, write it down.
Hold on.
Nobody can accuse anybody of copying from somebody else. Or at least, we don't know what Cecil's going to say, obviously, so we'll let Cecil go first. But I don't want to be accused of ripping somebody off. You need a pen? There you go. Or just write some initials so we know. All right. I've entered mine in the game show slot.
I have two.
Alfred has two. Okay. Cecil, go first.
It's going to be Teddy Bridgewater, the guy that's smart and accurate. I know he wants to be a starter, but at this point he's best as a backup, and he gives you a young player the Broncos could look to just in case something happens with Case Keenum.
I'm going to turn over my sheet, and what does it say? Teddy Bridgewater! That's what I wrote. Alfred?
Hooray.
Alfred?
A.J. McCarron.
That's good, too. That would be my second guy.
With history, with Vance Joseph in Cincinnati. A guy that he knows and a guy that has had a few starts under his belt.
I'd be fine with that as well.
It was A.J. McCarron because he does not threaten the starter. Bridgewater is a threatener of that room, Cecil.
I just wanted to be McCarron so Sandy can do I told you so, I told you so, I told you so for two straight hours one night. Okay, sorry, I interrupted. Al, you say, what about Bridgewater?
Well, I think Bridgewater is a legitimate starter in this league, and I don't know how that relationship was in Minnesota last year with Case Keenum and Teddy Bridgewater, but I would have to think that any deal to get Bridgewater here in a trade scenario, we call it a guy like Shane Ray, who certainly is deserving of being a starter in this league, that's an expensive haul right there. I mean, I think that he is a guy who's proven that he can play in this league, and when healthy, which he is now, he certainly looks like an NFL player and a starter.
Well, and that's why when you guys say give up Shane Ray, I'm going for the gusto, right? I'm going for the best that could be available. That's Teddy Bridgewater. McCarron, with all due respect, isn't enough. I mean, that'd be saying Robert Griffin III to me, you know, kind of that guy that's not going to threaten that starter. If you have to give up Shane Ray, and if that's truly the price tag, then I want to go for the best. Even if he is a threat to the starter, fine. I'm fine with that. You need quarterback talent. You need to find the guy, whether or not that's Case Keenum. You want it to be Keenum. They hope it's Keenum. But, man alive, Teddy Bridgewater, you know, if he's back, he's a very capable starter, perhaps even better than Case Keenum.
Let me ask you this, Cecil. Let's just say that this season is going ho-hum, and we are finding ourselves at some point during the season 3-4. I hate giving these scenarios. Let's just say that we are 4-3, but the offense hasn't done its job, and Teddy Bridgewater is sitting number two on the depth chart.
How did we just go 4-3, by the way? Were we 4-2 and we lost Arizona?
Were we 3-3? We're 4-3 and we lost the last two.
We lost to the Rams and Arizona.
Yeah, we're 4-3 and we lost the last two.
So we were 4-1 and we dumped the LA game and the Arizona game. Woo, we're on a little bit of a skid.
Let me ask you this.
And we got Kansas City coming up.
Hold on. Let me ask you this. You have Teddy Bridgewater in that room. And you know this great Denver Bronco crowd around here knows what's going on. Can you see the Denver Bronco faithful, Denver Bronco country, sit on their hands with Bridgewater sitting there at number two? I mean, it's like a disaster waiting to happen.
And Case Keenum's healthy?
And Case Keenum is healthy, and they had a little slide.
Yeah, that's fine.
You know people who love the backup quarterback. This is just like creating a bad room. A great room, but a bad room for the fan base.
But do they love Case Keenum? I mean, we deal with it every day, guys. You know that. Half of Broncos country isn't sold on Case Keenum.
True.
So, yeah, if you're dropping a couple, and you have to be under 500. You can't be above 500. There's not going to be a quarterback change there. But if you're, you know, 2-5 or whatever the number is, and Teddy Bridgewater's back there, yeah, this fan base is going to turn. They're going to turn quickly.
What do you mean half the fan base isn't behind Case Keenum? What are you talking about?
It just seems like people agree with Chris Carter, where they say he's a marginal starter. I don't agree with that. I think he's a solid starter, but is he a franchise quarterback? Everything's about levels and tiers. Like, the Broncos have a starter. They don't have a franchise quarterback. Case could be that if he breaks through that next level. That's what we're waiting to see this year, and we certainly didn't see signs of it on Saturday against Minnesota. It was very disappointing.
Takeaways from today.
This defense has big issues. Depth is a huge concern. I mean, it's Stuart Cravens, the one guy. If you're missing one guy and your secondary looks like that, or your coverage against tight ends look like that, and listen, this schedule isn't full of great tight ends, but there's up-and-comers like a Hayden Hurst, the rookie with the Ravens they'll have to face, Travis Kelce twice a year. You know, you'll see what this team puts together. You got Tyler Higbee, a kind of an unknown guy there with the Rams that's exciting. Like, that's the way to pick on Denver. It has been for years. I can't think of the last time off the top of my head this team could cover a tight end, and it was a sore spot today with Trey Burton, Mr. Philly Special himself, Juan wanted the Broncos to get in free agency. So did Big Al. And then, of course, they got a young guy, Adam Shaheen, Mr. Chipotle, who we talked plenty about in last year's draft. So it was disturbing to see, you know, the lack of depth, the lack of linebacker talent really being exposed against tight ends today.
And the thing that I saw that was really exciting was the way that our offense really moved the ball against their defense. So, you know, I just want to be quite honest with you. You know, I just watched DeAndre Hopkins go against Ward from the San Francisco 49ers, and boom, there it was, a fight, a real quick fight, 49ers and the Houston Texans. I'm not saying that that's what you want, but when you are really highly competitive, it just seems to happen. Does this seem like a really highly competitive practice against the Chicago Bears?
No, it seemed like a gentlemanly practice, you know, where you had a little bit of pushing, a little bit of jawing, but mostly, shaking hands and all that kind of stuff after the drill was done. And, that is kind of a G-rated practice, if you will. You don't want to fight. You don't want guys to get hurt, but you definitely perhaps want more aggression. And what was disheartening to me, I thought, okay, Chicago's an up-and-coming team, but they got work to do. The Broncos should work them in practice. And their offense did. But then their defense got worked by a young guy, Mitchell Trubisky. Now that looks like a franchise quarterback.
He looked great, yeah. Yeah, the Glennon Trubisky doctrine. Who would have ever come up with that idea? Cecil, on Sunday, August 26th, when we're inviting everybody to come out there with their draft party, you're going to be on hand answering questions and on hand for the draft and Big Al Survivor League. And we're going to do our own draft there. Thank you to Famous Dave's, and we're at the Doubletree, $15 per person. Register at 1043thefan.com. Now, I'm going to bring my fantasy football championship trophy, and I am just going to go auto-draft. I am going to just sit there, and I'm going to scream, auto-draft, and I will just, literally just take the next available good guy. Do you anticipate massive success on my part? Similar to the way I beat you twice, including in the championship last year.
D-Mac, you are my champion. I will say this. We need to take your trophy because it's got a little slot for, the donations, if you will.
Yes.
We still got guys from our league last year that owe me. So, I'm all for bringing...
Let me give you some fantasy advice. Let me give everybody out there some fantasy...
No credit.
...advice, okay? Do not ever... Let somebody sit down at your fantasy table if they have not already submitted the entry, okay?
Yes.
Whatever that entry may be, we do it every year at the Fan. It's beyond stupid. It's one of the dumbest.
I'll get to next week.
It's ridiculous. You don't got the money. You got plenty of time to do whatever you need to do ahead of time. You don't got it, then you got to go, okay? Now, you can take this advice or not. But it's the best fantasy advice for a healthy, happy league. All right?
Yeah, you can't be like Wimpy. I'll gladly pay you today for a draft for, a hamburger tomorrow, whatever.
Okay, thank you, Cecil. We'll see you later. And tonight at 7 p.m., it's Cecil Lammy talking fantasy football from 7 to 9. When we come back, Hard Knocks was great last night. Takeaways from Hard Knocks that apply to the Broncos next.
Covering Training Camp 2018, presented by Mountain High Appliance. Here's Big Al and D-Mac.
I'm sorry, what?
If you really want Teddy Bridgewater, I'm telling you, man, I think that's dangerous.
Well, I don't think it's realistic, by the way, but you asked me what I want.
Give me another team with a better offer to get Teddy Bridgewater.
Oh, I think the Broncos...
I think we are the best team Teddy Bridgewater.
I just don't know where the Jets are. I haven't really studied the Jets. I don't know where their head's at with stuff.
But Sam Darnold's going to be their starter.
Reports coming out that Darnold could start the next preseason game.
He should. He looked great. I said just yesterday, why would you even wait around? I said, why would you wait around? I like Tyrod Taylor. I will tell you this. If Tyrod Taylor did... See, I don't think they need to wait around in Cleveland. I don't think they need to wait around in New York. They can wait around a little bit in Buffalo. They can wait around. They're going to wait around in Arizona. I don't think they have to. But not in New York. You might as well get to it. And not in Cleveland either. The Cleveland situation is different. It's not because Tyrod Taylor's bad. In fact, just the opposite. He's really good. It's just that Baker Mayfield is going to be your future. You went 0-16. I mean, there's really no downside, Al, to getting Baker Mayfield as much experience as possible.
Well, the downside is that you have a playoff quarterback on your roster and you would just forego the opportunity to start strong and have great leadership and go with the rookie and hope for the best.
Yeah, but that goes into my Glennon Trubisky doctrine as well, and it fits perfectly. And then you say, okay, well, listen, if Mayfield wasn't catching on or really wasn't, it wasn't happening, then, okay, we've got Tyrod Taylor, but look at this. He's ready. And we see it again on Hard Knocks last night. Baker Mayfield's clearly ready for this role, has all the ability in the world to play in the NFL, has all the leadership skills you want, has humbled himself to be accepted by his teammates. He's got it all. Baker Mayfield has it all. And Tyrod Taylor is great, too. However, that being said, what we learned on Hard Knocks is they're still a mess in Cleveland. I mean, they clearly don't have all of that figured out. And the lack of respect. You got that clip from Corey Coleman yelling at Hugh Jackson? And this is crazy. Here is Corey Coleman, a first-round draft pick.
Out of Baylor.
Out of Baylor. Drafted 15th overall in 2016, the same year as Paxton Lynch, who Hard Knocks is just showing. He's dropping balls left and right. Todd Haley's yelling at him left and right. And he gets summoned to Hugh Jackson's office just to sort of talk about stuff. And this is how he goes off.
Why am I running second team?
What you said?
Why am I running second team?
Crazy. Go get started and go ask Todd.
If you don't want to play, why won't y'all just trade me?
What a baby. And guess what? They traded him. Now, they're having issues getting Josh Gordon in town. But, oh, my Lord. Who's the wide receiver who's just balling out of control?
Landry.
Bless. Oh, my. Jarvis Landry. Oh, my goodness gracious.
He's legit.
Oh, my gosh. And they got this young kid who they, you know, was caught with marijuana at 3 o'clock in the morning by a cop. Not good, but Antonio Callaway. He's fine. And they'll get Gordon there at some point, Alfred, I'm sure. They've got a very...
Maybe not.
Well?
Maybe not.
You know something?
No, I'm just saying. I mean, the guy's had issues in the past.
He definitely has issues. So, no doubt about it.
I mean, he looks fantastic, but to say that he is definitely
going to... Coleman wasn't helping him anyways. He wasn't, no matter what his potential talent was, he wasn't doing what he was needed to do. He's obsessed with his shoe collection, and he was chastising a head... I couldn't believe what I was hearing. I mean, that was something else. To see any player walk into an NFL head coach's office... And
tells you about the respect of the coach.
Oh, man.
Or the disrespect of the player.
Dude.
Corey Coleman, first-round draft pick. There's no reason for him not to be in an NFL starting lineup. Certainly he has a skill set that is unique. But guess what? That coaching staff didn't draft him.
Okay.
Okay, the general manager didn't draft him.
So is this just his attempt to get out of Cleveland?
He's got to get out because that's not his crew.
It worked. He worked. He can take his shoe collection to Buffalo. I hope he's got some winter boots. Not that Cleveland's any great shakes, you know. It was obscene in Ballers. I don't know if you watch Ballers, but I do. And it's a make-believe show. It's Mark Schlereth's show with Dwayne The Rock Johnson. And there's a scenario where there's a veteran wide receiver, and he's kind of fibbing to his girlfriend that he's retired, but he's really trying to get back in the NFL. And the agent calls, and I got some great news. Oh, what's that? I got a team that's ready for you. Okay, who is it? Cleveland. Hell no. That's the Cleveland reputation.
At some point, it's going to change, and it's going to take a great quarterback to change it because, D-Mac, while I was playing in the NFL, my early years in the league, every time things didn't go well, you're going to get traded, or we're going to cut you, and you're going to find yourself in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Let's go to
I mean, that was the case for, you know, I mean, it wasn't like the Green. You got to remember, the Green Bay Packers had one playoff run under Don Majkowski, but for a lot of years, they were the Cleveland Browns.
Sandy, you're on the fan. Hi, Sandy.
Hi.
Hey.
How are you guys doing?
Super.
Good. It's a nice day. Anyway, I guess I am just really bummed that we are looking for a veteran quarterback when all of those quarterbacks were available. Well, not all of them, but.
They were all available, Sandy. They were all available. We could have done something, Sandy. Trust me.
Yeah,
we could have moved up. We could have done things.
And everybody's doing things, and I don't know where we're headed. We're going backward instead of forward, and it's frustrating as a fan.
Sandy, let me tell you, to watch Mitch Trubisky today was pretty cool because you see what happens to Josh Allen, Josh Rosen, Baker Mayfield in year two. Just watch. If you get that time in the NFL and you're good enough in the first place and they give you that first year, look how you look in year two. And we saw the best quarterback on the field today was Mitch Trubisky. Case Keenum had a good day.
I disagree with that. I disagree because I think you were watching Mitchell Trubisky and you weren't really watching Case Keenum. So you can say that what you saw was that Mitchell Trubisky was impressive, and I'm going to tell you that Case Keenum was impressive today as well.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
You couldn't watch one practice and watch the other.
Well, you couldn't either.
Exactly, but I did see half of...
All right, fair enough. I'm agreeing with you.
All right.
I'm agreeing with you. Mitch Trubisky was fantastic.
So was Case Keenum.
Okay.
I can't let you have it, Don. I mean, I saw practice today. You know,
That's cool.
That's where I was.
Mitch Trubisky's in his second year.
Case Keenum in this second second.
So his fourth team, fifth
right, exactly.
team, his ninth
know
year.
I can put a second in there.
He's
he was a second choice of the Minnesota Vikings.
All right, this is the Drive on the Fence.
Covering Training Camp 2018, presented by Body Armor Sports Drink. Here's Big Al and D-Mac.
I'm just relieved that everything's, you know, been taken care of. You know, you've got faith in the legal system and, you know, faith in the Lord and family and friends and... You know, great support from everyone around me, Broncos, friends, family, and just glad that it's over with and I can just focus on football now.
Well, there's Adam Gossett. He's okay. He's cleared. Or cleared. He is not going to face charges.
Isn't that the same of cleared?
I guess.
You don't want to say he's clear?
I'm trying to be... No, I'll say whatever the most fair thing is to say. Is clear the most fair thing to say? Cleared? He wasn't charged, was he?
Yeah, he's cleared. He's cleared of any charges.
And they were like, yeah, but cleared is as if he was charged and then he's not. And it's not... It didn't even, like, get that far. Where was that, Big Sexy? Where was that quote taken from?
Troy Rank earlier, actually. Gotsis was scheduled to talk at 4:45, so he is talking right now. That quote came from Troy Rank's Twitter.
After the walkthrough.
It was after the news actually came out. So, yeah, after the walkthrough.
Sometimes there's news at the walkthrough. Usually it's nothing. So we can't... It was Troy busy filing
he's doing stuff
massive
with
amount
with
of reports
right
to Denver
now,
7.
He's doing stuff with Gotsis. But Gotsis and the team are expected to talk and issue a statement today regarding the case being dropped. So the case is dropped. If you really want to get technical.
Dropped, right. Yeah, he really wasn't clear. The case was dropped. He was never charged in the first place.
Isn't that the same as being clear?
All right, so we're kind of waiting on Troy, or we're not going to get Troy? No Troy. Troy's out. Just want to cleanse the palate just a tad. We'll get back to today with the Bears in a second, but... Justin wants to bring up something critically important that I love. Yes, Justin, you're on the Fan.
Yeah, hey guys.
Hey.
Yes, just got a quick question. Just want to get both of your opinions on this. A few quick questions. Do you guys think the Rockies starting pitching that they're fielding this year is the best that they've ever fielded in 25 years? And secondly, if the Rockies were starting a playoff series tomorrow, who would your pitchers be 1 through 5?
That's a great question, Justin. Appreciate it. Yes,
Tyler Anderson, 1.
Really?
Yep.
Okay.
Marquez, probably 2.
All right.
Then you could take it from there.
Well, I wouldn't do it that way. Marquez would be my number one guy.
Why wouldn't you go with...
Marquez is just dominating. And you know what's crazy about Marquez? He actually gives you a shot with a bat.
Oh.
You know, so not only is he the most dominant pitcher to me, but he's not a complete hole in the lineup. Then I would go Kyle Freeland, 2. Then I would go
Freeland,
John
2.
Gray, 3.
John Gray, the
comeback
was,
story.
Oh, John Gray, man. He is. I would put John Gray probably number 3. I would put 3.
And then I would go Tyler Anderson, Chad Bettis. I'll take my chances with that 5. Troy Rank. Hey, before we get on to the Adam Gotsa stuff, Troy Rank joining us, brought to you by the Trinity Law Offices. Have you or someone you know been arrested for a DUI? Contact the Tranny Law Offices at 303-333-1816 for help. If you had to put a starting five for the Rockies right now, who would it be based on this year?
Freeland's clearly one, Marquez two. Again, I think it would be similar where you guys said Gray, the way he's pitching now, three. I would likely then have Anders. It depends on the matchup. So Matt Anderson, three, Gray, four, and then Bettis, five. That, again, that's as good a rotation they've rolled out maybe ever when you look at the numbers. And Kyle Freeland is having a season for the ages. I mean, he's one of the best pitchers in the National League.
I tell you what, Tyler Anderson has been really, really competitive and just does all the right things to keep you in games and give you deep innings every time he pitches. I mean, that's also got to be talked about at some point. This starting pitching staff, it has done its job.
Yeah, I mean, again, you take away the three walk-offs in 5 days, they're sitting in first place right now, and the conversation's different. Than they're mentally tough. Again, we talked about it on the morning show. Broncos could use some of the mental toughness that this Rockies team has shown.
No doubt.
But, again, you take away some of these walk-off losses, you're talking about a team that's sitting in first place and with the best rotation in franchise history. So you're right, Al. I mean, again, if they can get through the seventh, you really like their chances. The problem's been when the starter goes sixth, they haven't really been able to consistently solve the seventh inning. You know, Ottavino in the eighth's been decent, and Davis looks like he's kind of getting back on the rails here, but when they don't go seven, it gets a little squirrely for them, obviously.
All right, Troy. It's fun. We love it. Go Rockies. It's awesome to watch. And away we go. I love it. Keep it going. The announcement with Gotsis. Tell us about it, the reaction to it. What do you got?
Well, again, it was an interesting situation because he was arrested in March. Posted $50,000 bond based on a woman walking into the Atlanta police office and telling about an incident that occurred in 2013. And the Fulton County DA decided today, he had said he was going to decide 90 days. Well, it went two months longer than that. He decided today that after thorough investigation, they were dropping the case against Gotsis. He spoke for the first time today he spoke to the media for the first time since his arrest. Said he was relieved, he had faith in the legal system, had faith in God, he appreciated the support of his friends and teammates. He's looking to focus on football now. From the football side of it, because the DA is not pursuing the case, it makes it far less likely that he will be disciplined by the NFL. Now, again, we've seen guys disciplined without being charged and, you know, and gone to court, but in this case, it's highly unlikely that Gotsis will face a suspension for this. So he was relieved. I mean, he was a guy who clearly, in talking to him just now, he was relieved to have this over with.
Let me ask you this. You know, it seems that once you see these criminal charges that may not work out for the plaintiff, that there is a civil case that usually goes with that where there's all kinds of information that is disseminated. Do you think that there will be a civil case against Gotsis going forward and maybe there's ugly information out there that, you know, that could come with it?
Well, you hope not in his case because he wants to put it behind him. I'm going to talk with his attorney here after I get off the phone with you guys and get a better read on kind of where it goes from here. The initial thing is the DA, the criminal side of it, the charges have been dropped. I mean, a lot of this stuff is in court documents about the woman alleging that, you know, what happened in 2013. So I don't know beyond that what else would be uncovered, Al. You know, I mean, a lot of that came forward when he was originally arrested. But, you know, you just never know with these situations. Again, today's reaction is that no charges will be pursued against him. The case has been dropped, and he's unlikely to face league discipline.
Okay. There's been Broncos are walking on the wild side here, Troy, aren't they, with some of their players? Like, they got a bunch of team captains, but they ain't all choir boys over there at Dove Valley. Tell me your impressions about that.
Well, if you're alluding to A.J. Johnson being signed, again, he was exonerated from a rape case it was similar to Gotsis in that it occurred. His allegations stem from a 2014 incident, hasn't played football in 4 years. In these cases, D-Mac, this is the reality of it. As a team, you look into it, you decide whether you're comfortable with the background, the character, the references, the face-to-face, to whether you want to take on the risk. And in some cases, you think maybe someone was wrongfully accused, or you do feel like maybe there was trouble in their past, but they're over it. I mean, when you have 53 guys on a roster, it's not going to be – everyone's not going to be perfect. That's the reality of this. So you have to be comfortable as a team and an organization with the guys you put out there. And in the case of A.J. Johnson, it's a unique case in that this incident was 4 years ago. In Gotsis's case, it was 5 years ago. It doesn't excuse it. But in both cases, they've been exonerated. In Johnson's case, found not guilty by a jury. In the case of Gotsis, no charges being pursued. But I understand what you're saying.
But, I mean, it's not just those two. I mean, Tremaine Brock had an incident. Will Parks has had an incident.
Parks was exonerated as well.
I got you.
Yeah, no, I get it. I mean, it's...
Right, DT, don't forget what DT was involved with years ago with Parrish Cox. That, you know, that has long-lasting ramifications, too. I mean, it's... listen, man, I just don't know what to say here in terms of who's it on, okay? Like, if you're taking a chance on a guy with a reputation in the past, right? Like, who is that on? Like, who has to bear the burden and trust of responsibility for that person to be a good person and a player further down the line?
Is it the head coach? Is it the GM? Who is that guy that makes that call?
Is it the owner of the team? Who is it on?
Yeah, that's good.
Well, the front office and Joe Ellis are usually involved in cases like this and whether they want to sign a guy, keep a guy based on allegations or types of off-field behavior. That goes beyond the head coach. Once the player is then retained and or signed, then they have to put either measures in place or find out what are we comfortable, we need to make sure that this person needs some type of assistance or some type of way to make sure they're able to stay, whether you call it straight and narrow, or they're able to get their life back in order after these incidents. But it's not, if there's the problem, DMAC and Al, it's not simple. It's case by case scenario. We see that in sports all the time. Sometimes you're comfortable with something, and in the same case, you look a guy in the eye and you don't believe him. And so you decide not to sign. I mean, so that's why it's a case by case. What are you comfortable with? But these decisions, when it involves off field incidents, always go up to the top. Front office, GM, those decisions are made above the head coach.
Troy, the practices today were, in my opinion, ho-hum. I thought there was not a lot of energy, and the effort was okay, but certainly not game speed. What was your impression of what you saw today?
Yeah, I thought I'd see a little more. I'll be honest now. The first team defense had a pretty good stand. Bradley Roby made a nice play early. I'm talking very early in the practice where he told me he thought he should have had a pick. So maybe that changes the vibe a little bit. And Case Keenum looked sharp, but the Broncos second team defense, and Ben Joseph said it looked terrible. They could not cover a tight end. They were just getting gashed repeatedly. And, in trying to avoid fights, which I get, there was a lack of intensity. You didn't feel the vibe. Like when they scrimmaged the Texans a couple years ago, these guys were getting after it.
It was action everywhere. It was action everywhere.
Right, and you sensed among with those two teams that you were looking at two playoff-type teams. Today, I didn't sense that. And maybe I'm wrong. I just didn't sense I was watching two teams that are going to be playing after the final regular season game. Now, they got plenty of room to prove me wrong, and many people do, but I didn't sense that I was watching two teams that were going to play in the postseason. And, again, the Broncos, for me, Al, it starts offensively. They got to be better. And Keenum was sharp today. But defensively, I'm a little worried about the lack of depth in the secondary and some of the things I've seen along the line in terms of gap assignment against the run. All correctable, but they lack depth in the secondary. They're just not the defense I want to see if I'm a fan. They're not there yet. Now, can they get there? Absolutely. But they're clearly not there yet.
All right, great stuff. We appreciate it. We'll see you on Denver 7 later tonight, Troy. Thank you.
Yeah.
Denver 7's own Troy Rank, who is on with Mark Schlereth. And while he was on with Mark Schlereth, why?
It's your daily exclamation mark with Mark Schlereth, brought to you by Shomp BMW.
Paxton Lynch was demoted to third team quarterback, and Chad Kelly was elevated to the number two quarterback. So right now, to date, in 3 years, Paxton Lynch has been beat out by Trevor Siemian, a seventh rounder. Year two, even when they tried to give him the starting job, he was beat out by seventh rounder Trevor Siemian. And this year, when there was an open competition that wasn't even open because Chad Kelly never even took a second team rep, he was beat out once again by a seventh rounder. Chad Kelly usurps Paxton Lynch. When asked about it and asked about the demotion, this is what Vance Joseph had to say to the media.
He is upset. He didn't like it. He wants to know why, and he's got to play better. As simple as that. It's a competition. It's the league. Everyone's doing this. You know, no one's not playing their best players. Okay, and it's really more about Chad. You know, Chad has competed, and Chad's played well. You know, because if Chad's not playing well, he's still a two. You know, so it's really more about what Chad has done from the spring to now.
He didn't like it. He wanted to know why. You didn't like it? I don't like getting benched. I don't like getting beat out. I don't like being a first rounder who can't play. Why? Listen, it sounds to me like you've been entitled your entire life. Like it's been given to you. Hey, you're 6'7", you're athletic, here you go. That's not how the NFL works. You're asking why you got benched, then you are clueless and you're not looking at yourself with the scrutiny that you need to look at yourself with. That's the bottom line. So I personally feel like it's time. C'est la vie. I can't wait for you to get your cleats off the grass.
Mark Schlereth and Mike Evans tomorrow morning at 6 on Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan.